going on, America? I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. This is our post-Memorial Day episode where we take a retrospective look at what it really means for the men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us living in America. And we truly take a look at, is this an America worth dying for? Sit back, relax, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast.
Hey!
What's up, everybody?
I leaned back.
You leaned back.
She's figuring it out, everybody. Hey. It's only episode 10, but...
I can't believe it's been that many.
Is it episode 10 before I mess up and tell everybody?
10.
That would be really embarrassing. Episode 11 airs. Hey, welcome to episode 10.
My lucky number is 10.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Really can't. I really can't believe it's been 10 episodes. Time does fly when you're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it really is a thing. So I believe in being honest. So, Jake, where are we right this second?
We're in a living room. Or a dining room, actually.
Is it a lit? This is a dining room. It's a diving room.
Oh, that would be awesome. An open floor plan.
We are in our new house. Our new house, but we're in the kitchen slash table that looks into the living room portion of the house.
So if you hear someone yell, "Mommy,"
it could be our kids who are asleep as we speak. So technically, the children are here, and.
Whitney.
Jake's wife, Whitney, sitting over here in the corner. Did you hear her? There she is.
She's here.
She made us promise that we weren't going to put her on or even mention she was here.
Too bad.
So welcome to the show. Anyway, all right. So moving on. This episode is a weird episode because it's coming out on Tuesday. So you're listening to this now. It is Tuesday. That is our dog
who is also here.
Ducky, the wonder dog. The reason that we did not do it on Monday is I hate not doing things on time. I hate not doing things when people expect it. People are used to it. But there are a couple of things that make me do that and make us here at Rant Nation, Dear America, do that as well. And that is Memorial Day. So Memorial Day was Monday. That's why we felt it would be disrespectful to drop an episode on Monday for that reason. But because Memorial Day was Monday, it still is the big thing of what I kind of want to talk about while we're here. So the title of this podcast is An America Worth Dying For. So that's kind of where I want to take it. In nodding our head or tipping our hat to Memorial Day and the men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms and for our ability to put this podcast on in the first place, for our ability to get on the internet and whine and complain about things that actually don't matter, and to be able to whine and complain about the things that do. But before we get into that, I have a complaint, and it has to go towards Alyssa and Jake.
Yep.
Already?
Already. We're 3 minutes into this thing. Okay, guys, inside scoop. Last episode, I start talking about our story, and I start telling everybody how it happened, and I say November 1st, I had to let the military know, and then what you don't realize is it makes a cut right to me talking about the presidential election. What you don't know is that during the taping of that episode, I said what happened on November 8th, 2016.
Wow.
Bueller, anybody, both Alyssa and Jake didn't get it right, that it was the presidential election, and it didn't make the cut on the episode.
I'm just going to cut this part out.
Wait, I was going to say, I think you should, because I knew that's the video you're referring to, so I didn't speak.
Oh, no.
I thought it was a trick question.
Oh, goodness.
See?
I'm just saying, don't think that when I listened to that back, I did not notice.
You were waiting for it.
I was waiting on that, and it was not there. So, you know.
It just made sense for the cut.
Fake news media here on Dear America podcast. Anyway, okay, so let's get into this. Memorial Day. Guys, did you know that there is a study going around right now that says 4 out of every 10 Americans embrace socialism? Did you know that?
I didn't, but
that's a real statistic. So what that actually should say is 40% of America are idiots.
That's dumb.
But that's something that is really going on here in this country. All I'm saying is this, okay? It is a weird thing to think about, especially on, you know, after Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I want to say. And the title of this is kind of a play off of a tweet that I saw from Robert O'Neill. If you guys don't know who Robert O'Neill is, he is actually the Navy SEAL from SEAL Team 6 that killed bin Laden.
Oh, okay.
And so he said this Memorial Day, be an American worth dying for. Mm. So that was the tweet that he said. So our title of this is kind of a play off of that. But I thought that that was very powerful. When you think about our men and women who have died over the years, and you think about the America that they fought to preserve, to save, or even in the Revolutionary War to create, that was for freedom. That wasn't for socialism. That wasn't right. for communism. That wasn't for a Bernie Sanders-led whatever nightmare he came out of. What kind of person honeymoons in, well, where was it? The Soviet Union. And then comes out and says, you know what? I think this is a good thing.
Cool place.
In the '80s too. In the '80s, not even like 2019. But the point is, those men and women didn't die for that. Those men and women died for freedom. Now, unfortunately, there is a direct counterbalance to that. True freedom means that people can even start having the conversations of, is socialism such a bad idea for America in the first place? But I'm curious what you think. Hashtag Dear America, let us know how you feel about this. How do you feel about 40% of Americans? Think about that. That's 10% less than half of the people that we know or that you interact with are actually embracing this idea of socialism. Do you agree with that? Do you think that it's made up? How does that make you feel? Hashtag Dear America, let us know what you think. Jake, why do you think that 40% of Americans are embracing? That's what it says. In not accepting. Accepting is a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. Accepting is, this has happened to you. Now you just got to deal with it and learn to move on. Embracing is, this is something that you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why do you think that is?
Probably the universities mainly. So they leave out all the bad that socialism's done the past couple hundred years, and they teach, you know, all the professors are pro-socialism, you know, and the kids come out of college seeing all the positives that come out of socialism, and they look at some of the systems we already have, like, you know, Medicare, Social Security, and they're like, see, we're a socialist country already. And instead of just seeing these programs that help, you know, the populace, they see it as like, no, we need everything to be set up that way. We need everything to be socialist because that's what works. And they don't read
the history. Lazy, entitled, yeah. good for nothing. Just
And they don't read the history, you know,
I think that's what's scary is everyone leaves out the history of actually what socialistic countries become and what they are.
They're not leaving it out. They don't know it.
They're not being taught.
No, that's what it really is. They don't know. We are a direct result of our own amazingness that is this country. People don't know what it's like to suffer through things. It's the same problem we have with our children right now. Our children are used to getting things that they want, how they want it, i.e. they break a toy or they lose a toy. One thing we had to work on with our children was, well, they're like, well, we'll just get another one.
Mm.
What? Mm. What? Yeah. No. Por favor? No. What's por favor?
That's please.
No, please. No, please. But no, that's what I'm saying. And that's a very small scale because our children are tiny, but that's what's going on.
But I feel like it's become too, despite history and universe, it seems like a fad. Especially for the younger generations, this is what's cool.
It's always been the cool thing for the younger generations
to
buck the system.
But they pull on the morale of it. We're going to feed everyone.
Morally superior.
Everyone can come over. And it makes no sense once you see it, but that nobody cares about that.
They also have the audacity to say, like, we'll be the ones that'll do it right. Yeah, it may have failed in Venezuela, Russia, but we'll do it right this time. We're the ones that know how to do it right.
Saying we're going to feed everyone, or we're going to clothe everyone, or we're going to house everyone. The only thing that does is make it that eventually you won't be able to feed, clothe, or house
anyone.
Yeah.
That's all that is, because that's not how it works. Charlie Kirk broke this down on his podcast the other day, and I'm going to reverberate it. The amazing thing about capitalism and how we do things is the fact that everybody has a chance to succeed and everybody has a chance to be wealthy and live the life they want to live. But by very definition, capitalism makes it to where not everybody will. And that's right. That is the truth. With competition comes advancement. With competition comes embetterment of the life of which we live. The only reason that we have the things we have today, technology, houses, air conditioning, lights, TVs, all this stuff, is because of competition and some people right. wanting to outdo other people and wanting to beat others in the process.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And that's being squashed in elementary schools with participation awards. You know, you can't have losers. The kids have to all get first place.
I told this to other people the other day. I'm going to say this now while Alyssa's looking up something really
quick. Sorry, I just thought of something. We were talking about school.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll come right back to it. But I want to get this out. So speaking of what you just said, Jake, I said this in a story the other day and somebody said, you got to put this on the podcast. So I'm going to say it now. Well, I have a huge problem with participation trophies, and mm-hmm. this is why. One of my favorite things in the world, in the entire world, I love it internally, is this. And, you know, before everybody freaks out, let me get through the whole thing, especially you, Alyssa.
Okay. I know where you're going.
Before you start throwing things at me, one of my favorite things, especially for younger people, children, things like that, is I love to see people fail, and I love to see people lose. I do.
It's good for you.
I absolutely love it because you figure out what kind of person you really are in those moments.
You definitely grow when you fail.
When mm-hmm. we create, I could care less what kind of person you are when everything works for you. It's kind of the same thing we talk about in church. It's really easy to say that you're a Christian, you believe in God and all this other kind of stuff when things are going good. But then when a relative gets sick or you get sick or you lose your job or your house goes away or your car breaks down, et cetera, that's when you find out what kind of Christian you may be, or that's when you find out what kind of person you really are.
Right.
We have created a society that we teach our children, we teach especially our younger generations, that you can be whatever you want to be, however you want to be it, whenever, whatever it is.
Which is great, but they don't teach the work ethic behind it.
They don't mm-hmm. teach the fact that the odds are, even though you have the opportunity to be whatever you want to be, the only way you're going to achieve it, if you achieve it, is by working harder than everyone else. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. It's more than just hard work. You can work hard your whole life and not work harder than other people. It's the people that work the hardest that are going to be the ones that get it. People want to make six figures. You hear people say that all the time. Six figures. That's what I want to get to. That's what I want to make. But they don't realize that the people that work six figures work at least 70, 80 hours a week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's the disillusion that we're teaching ourselves here. So people think socialism is a good idea at the end of the day because they are lazy. Alyssa, go to your school.
This has nothing to do with that. But you said school, and my girl, mine, went in all my little different boxes. And this one I remember pulling out, though. This says California was the first state to teach LGBT curriculum to second graders.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we just talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, that's
second. That's my son's. Mm-hmm. That's my son's. He shouldn't even be. He's not even talking about dating.
Yeah.
Much less. Well, anything past that.
Right. Yeah. This is not a pro-gay, anti-gay thing or pro-LGBT, anti-LGBT. This is a sexual conversation versus a not. Second graders, they don't know what that is. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no reason to even begin to
okay, well, hang on. Second graders do, unfortunately, a lot of them. Some.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the problem that we're in now. They shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't.
That's the thing. Like eight-year-olds should not have any understanding, nor should they be subjected to
I don't want you to put that in a curriculum, just like you wouldn't want me to put, well, the Bible says this. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I learned sex ed in second grade, I think. But it,
you
what?
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Whitney's saying no. Whitney's calling falsitude.
She didn't go to school with me. So
that's true.
I could have swore that my first sex ed was in second grade. What are you guys? Are you saying it's later?
I didn't learn anything about sex until middle school.
Yeah, I was seventh grade.
I was not raised in the South.
Do you remember? See? I'm just curious what they taught
that
young?
Wait a minute. Did you hear that, though, Alyssa? Can we pause for a second?
That's a
Jake
good point.
Jake finally admitted that he was not raised in the South.
Oh,
right there.
On
there
air was, and
just
everything.
On air. We've got it. Oh, no, it won't make it. He'll edit it out.
I'll cut that out, too.
Before he gets it.
No, but second grade. But there was no, like, context to it. It was just like, okay, that was funny, and we giggle about it. Sex didn't come into our lives until eighth grade, ninth grade.
But what is the point of teaching a second grader about that?
Curriculum, the school board deciding their age. Curriculum
is designed for a purpose. It's designed to do something that they seem or deem necessary at a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
That's why curriculum is for third, fourth, blah, 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 blah. What is the point of teaching second graders sexual anything? What is the point?
No, I agree.
And I feel like, you know, if it does come to that, unfortunately, bad things do happen in the world. It's the parents' responsibility, not the schools.
Yeah.
So if you want to have that conversation, great.
When they taught me the sex ed, they weren't like explaining
how it works,
how it all works and everything. It's just like, this is a guy. This is what a guy is. This is what a girl is. Not like.
So like anatomy.
Yeah. Not the advanced forms of like, this is how. This is how, you know, it's like, no.
I'd be very curious to look at the curriculum to see exactly what they're teaching.
I may have been fourth grade.
Again,
I may have been fourth grade.
But even fourth grade, show me. We're having all these conversations right now about abortion and what if 12-year-olds get pregnant and what if all this other kind of stuff. Well, what are the school systems actively doing themselves to desexualize our children in the first place when you're subjecting them to sex ed and LGBT training, basically, at the second grade level?
That's ridiculous.
Like, I mean, that is the stuff. This isn't a pro-LGBT, anti-LGBT discussion. These are second grade kids. What the crap does that have to do with anything?
I bet they all...
How many apples could Tommy possibly have that leads you to sex ed class? You know what I'm saying? All the kids raise their hand.
I think we're the Q in the LGBT
questioning. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then these people freak out when parents go kick in the door ready to burn that school down because we don't sign off on that. You know, we don't sign off on you teaching our children that kind of stuff. Sex ed in middle school makes sense because hopefully by that point, responsible parents have had those kind of conversations with their parents already.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Segwaying off of that, I see that Gillette is at it again with their new commercial.
I haven't seen it.
You guys haven't seen the new Gillette commercial? The new Gillette commercial is Gillette is at it again, this time featuring Samson, a transgender man learning to shave for the first time.
Wait, sorry. Samson, a transgender...
Transgender man is a girl that has transitioned into a man.
That's right.
So the whole video is her daddy, her dad, instructing her how to shave with the grain, not against the grain.
How old is she?
Oh, she's... I mean, she is...
Second grade?
No. I mean, she's old enough to now she's able to grow facial hair. Kind of thing.
Even
and
if I was a guy, I'd
shaving
like I'd
it for the first
off.
Time. I just...
Trans-
okay.
I wouldn't want that.
Here's my thing. All right. Again, removing the... If I agree with that or not. How many clientele does Gillette really have of transgender men that
apparently
are buying
enough.
Some razors? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand the marketing that they're going after right now. It's like the toxic masculinity ad. The people that they were really like in the background going, yeah, that's great. They're not buying right. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Like, who cares what your razor company thinks about politics?
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying. But moving on, going back to the main point, that this is all about an America worth dying for.
Mm.
In reverence and respect to our heroes that have paid the ultimate price for us and for freedom. I'm oftentimes... find myself perplexed on, you know, the men and women. And when I say men, in this. I mean that literally by what they did through courage, but biologically, these were teenagers that stormed the beach of Normandy. That's know what I'm saying? I mean, these were kids that did this kind of thing. Now, in spirit and in heart and in courage and mind, and they were the manliest of men, the greatest generation we've ever had. These were 15. These were 15-year-olds that lied to say that they were older to go die. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about that mindset nowadays. And that's kind of what I'm getting at here. We remember on Memorial Day those people that willingly signed up to die for someone else. Okay? The whole principle around that. Now, this was said in church the other day, and I will repeat this because it was a really good thing. Memorial Day kind of reminds us of Easter.
Oh, yeah, this
right?
is good.
Easter, everybody comes around, and everybody, the whole purpose of celebrating Easter is why? Jesus died, rose again, you know, kind of thing, and everybody remembers. However, technically, if you're a Christian, isn't that something you're supposed to remember every day?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Well, the same thing goes for Memorial Day.
Mm. That was good.
Technically,
that
is good. Every day, we should be remembering the fact
right.
that these estimated 1.3 million veterans.
Right.
That means 1.3 million families, 1.3 million wives or husbands, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers have received a folded flag saying that your son or your daughter is not coming home. They paid the ultimate price for freedom. I don't know what the exact like line that they read to these families is. Isn't that something that we shouldn't need a day to remember? And I know that this is where we're at in a society, because 2 years ago, I did a video to test it to see who knows what Memorial Day actually is. If you're not aware, there's always a big mess up between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. A lot of people like to go up to veterans and go, thank you for your service on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And most veterans get highly irritated about
Graham
that.
Graham is one of them.
I am one of them. I get that highly irritated because that is not what Memorial Day is about. Memorial Day is about the people that didn't make it. You know,
you know Joe Biden's thing? Him. A few years ago, he was at some Memorial Day thing. And he's like, you know, we got a lot.
Is this going to make me mad, Jake?
Probably.
It'll make you laugh, hopefully.
Okay.
So he's speaking to a whole bunch of veterans, and it's on Memorial Day. And, you know, on this day, we reflect on all the fallen heroes, and we got a few of them out there right now.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
I will say this, that if Joe Biden becomes president, the amount of just
footage,
just, man, just goofs that will happen is
can
just
I want to read
yeah,
this
go,
quote.
Go
so
for
Trump,
it.
I think it was last year, he quoted General Douglas MacArthur, but it was really good. I was reading it. And so it's really quick. But General Douglas MacArthur once said that the soldier who is called upon to offer and to give his life for his country is the noblest development of mankind.
No, I agree.
And I thought that was a beautiful quote.
I think that's mm-hmm. amazing. And that goes to finish out what I was saying. 2 years ago, I went out and did a research type video style man on the street thing to find out if people knew what Memorial Day actually stood for. And it was very, 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 very shocking. And it goes along with everything that we're talking about here today, the results that I found. What I found was literally 100% across the board, if they were the ages 30 and above, they knew 100% what Memorial Day was about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask 30 and below, I'm not talking just teenagers. I'm talking like 26, 27-year-old grown adults walking around. No clue. None whatsoever. And that goes with what I'm trying to say here. An America worth dying for. Now, I can't speak for these men and these women that pay the ultimate sacrifice. None of us can. None of us will ever know what type of courage or mindset or thinking, if there's any thinking at all, that goes through someone in the moment that they choose to either save their fellow man or simply die in battle or whatever it would be. Are we in America worth dying for still? You know what I mean? Like, those are legit questions that we have to ask ourselves as the current generation, as the current adult generation. Is this an America worth dying for? Or are we slowly but surely letting it slip through the cracks to turn into something that it was never supposed to be.
I mean, I say yes, but
yeah.
I don't think we're there yet.
It's discouraging sometimes.
This isn't a doom and gloom thing. This is a legitimate question.
I hear you.
Are we truly, okay, here's a better way to phrase it. Are we truly honoring these people by the conversations that we're having right now? Hashtag Dear America, let us know what you think. Are we truly honoring the men and women who fought for our freedom as America
by having the battles
that we're having with each other right now on things that really shouldn't be conversations at all?
And I completely agree with most of that. But I'm just saying, I think there is, you know, the silent majority, there is truth to that. So I think that there is a lot who feel just like we do.
Okay. And what if that 40%, that? You know, 40% of the country believes in socialism? What if 60%? That got to 60? Like, what if that got to 70? Would this be a country worth dying? Am I going to go die that we can be socialist?
And that's an excellent point, because once you lose the motivation of why do I join if I don't like this
country?
We're
talking 11%. Before the majority of America is embracing socialism.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan said it best. Love Joe Rogan. I especially love Joe Rogan's comedy. I don't agree with 85% of what Joe Rogan says, but I respect him for how he says it and how he thinks it.
Mm-hmm.
He said it best as far as America goes. If you don't think that we could lose all of it or it could be taken away, you're an idiot. And this is why. America's 270 something years old. We can do the math real quick. Hold on real quick. 2019 minus 1776. 243 years old. Okay. America's 243 years old. People are living to 100 now. That's three people ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Three people ago, America wasn't here. You know what I'm saying? Like, really think about that. And so these are things that we have to think about. And this is a weird philosophical Dear America, but it's true, because this is in retrospect to Memorial Day yesterday, and just what these men and these women just died for. What is it that they really died for? They died for the men and women to their left and their right, and they died for the family and
That's
the
right.
home to their back, right?
Yeah.
Is this an America worth dying for? That's all I'm saying. I of course, still believe it to be so. My question really is, how much longer are we going to let it slip into that 40% becomes 45%, 45 becomes 50%, and then all it takes is that 50 become 51, and then all of a sudden the America we knew is now the minority of the situation. We have the freaking women's soccer team in the World Cup right now.
I have her name. Alex Morgan.
Well, that's the second one. Alex Morgan just came out saying that if they win the World Cup, she's not going to the White House. There's some other girl. I think her name's Megan. I don't know. She looks like the chick from Game of Thrones, the blonde-headed knight girl.
Oh, I was going to say the pretty one, Khaleesi, but the knight looks
gross. No, the knight girl that can...
Who is it, Whitney?
Brienne of Tarr.
Yeah, she looks like Brienne of Tarr if she was a soccer player. Anyway, the point is, she has not stood for the national anthem in a very, very long time, and she came out and said that she will continue to not only never stand, but never recite the words ever again, not for oppression, not for anti-equality of women or whatever, but just to say F Trump.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like these are a lot of hate. But those are two people. Those are two people that are on the U.S. women's soccer team representing America
Megan Rapinoe?
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Rapinoe. Don't even say
forget her name.
She's
quickly.
Not even. Yeah, forget her name quickly.
I
man.
Just I Googled mean, that for y'all.
But that's what I said, Megan. I got it.
Megan Traitor.
Right. Yeah, Megan Traitor. Yeah, there you go. Very, very good. That's my point. And that's all I'm saying is that I don't know. To me, it's scary. I sit here and on Memorial Day, it's a weird time for me. Me and Alyssa had this kind of conversation. It's weird for me to celebrate Memorial Day. I get it. And I'm not one of those veterans that are like, you shouldn't. This isn't about barbecues. Yeah. It's about the men who died. You don't have fun.
And like I told you, they died so you could live.
What I'm saying is, I'm not that guy. I'm not saying to not have fun. In fact, it's the exact opposite. I'm saying to remember why you're having fun on Memorial Day. Like that's where I stand on the line.
Don't just see it as a day off.
But Memorial Day was Monday. Tuesday. It's Tuesday today.
It is.
Do people still remember Memorial Day? Like that's my question. And that's the big question, I think, that needs to be talked about more often. Memorial Day was yesterday. Are you still thankful today? Do you still remember those men and women today? What about tomorrow? What about a week from now? Mm-hmm. You know, life moves on, man. I mean, think about people in our own lives that have passed away. Think about them for a little bit, but then eventually the world moves on, et cetera, et cetera. But the only difference between those men and women and everything else is we would not be able to move on if it wasn't for them.
And I think to remember your Gold Star families, we got the honor of going to the Snowball, which is for Gold Star families who have children. And they just put on this huge thing. Who is it now that took it over?
Gary Sinise Foundation.
Foundation.
It used to be called the Snowball Express.
And it still is, I think. It's just under his foundation.
Yeah, but Gary Sinise Foundation bought it out.
So we know a lot of Gold Star families. We have a friend who personally lost her husband. So anyway, but just to remember our Gold Star families, because obviously when you lose a loved one, you don't forget. But in that way, especially.
I agree. It's a great thing to donate to. Gary Sinise, fantastic person. Let's perk this thing up a little bit here. I've got some ridiculous things to talk about.
I have one too.
Alyssa's super pumped.
First.
So ladies, well, since she asserted that. Wow. Okay.
Oh, you want to say it?
Well, it's kind of funny. You identify as a lady. Go, because it's going to go into mine later. Just go.
For the record, I do identify as a lady.
And for the record, I am very happy about that. Move on.
Okay. This is super quick, but I had to say it. Okay. Oh, Graham Allen. Okay.
Was that Michael Scott?
Oh my gosh. Okay. From the city of Moulton Police Department, this guy named...
What a cool police department to work for. Moulton.
No, I can't even get the name out without laughing. His name is... His name is Barry Larry Terry.
Barry Larry Terry from Moulton.
What is wrong with you?
I'm
You're
sorry.
Such a child.
But if you could see his face, he looks like Barry Larry Terry.
He looks like a Barry
was
Larry
arrested
Terry.
Arrested for unlawful possession of a wild raccoon and no headlights on his bicycle.
That's pretty
How
good.
How sad has life kicked you straight in the crotch? Did you get
was
pulled
the raccoon
over for no
like
headlight?
Dead? Or was it like strapped to his bike? He had to have it on him when they arrested him for riding.
You got
to
pay taxes
in
on
a
those
basket.
Things. That's for sure.
Oh,
okay, so speaking of identifying as a woman or as a man, so if you guys, I'm sure that most of you listening and you guys have probably seen the Snapchat filter that is taking the internet by storm now.
I haven't tried it.
Where everybody
Y'all
can...
Done it?
Yeah,
who's
pretty? Jake,
pretty.
Are you adorable?
I am pretty good looking as
a I have a feeling that I would be the most hideous lady.
I think you would be too. You don't. Well, you have a very man face.
Excuse me?
I'm just saying. You want to look good as a lady?
That's a good compliment.
I'm just saying. I mean, geez, don't even give me a shot. Wow.
Oh my gosh, is that him?
Is that Jake?
Wow, he does look good as a woman.
We're going to post it. Are you naked in this photo?
I don't have a shirt on.
We are going to post this somehow.
Jake's going to post it to his personal Instagram so you can go find it.
Yes.
Now you have to.
Hashtag Dear America and say yes or no. Hashtag Dear America, yes or no.
Setting me
and
up.
And if enough people say yes, yes, we will post that god-awful photo on thing. Anyway, so moving on. Okay, so this is ABC News that reported this. All right, we're talking about the Snapchat, gender. What was it called? The gender filter? What is it?
I don't know.
No, you just did it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, apparently transgender people have taken offense.
Makes sense.
ABC News reports
it's not a joke.
The transgender community saying, my gender is not a costume. For trans people, gender swap photo filters are no mere game.
May I just say something to
That's
that?
That's hilarious.
There's
Grow
a ballerina
up.
Filter, and I'm a dancer, and I'm offended that y'all think you can just all be ballerinas.
Go, right. Grow up, man.
We struggle.
Grow up.
With
that. No. Call it for what it is. Shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut
It's like, how unhappy
up.
Are you?
God. Amen.
You know
just
what,
call
man?
It in waves because
hey.
You can.
Dennis Prager said this, and I think it's genius. It is simply this. You look at the left. right? And I'm not going to say that 100% of people that are transgender are left-leaning and political, okay? But I would highly guess that it's in the high 90 percentiles, okay? All right, Dennis Prager says it best, okay? Conservative value systems, you look at any type of conservative value, and it is all based around doctrine and principles of some sort, okay? Mm-hmm. The Bible, all right? There's a lot of religion around conservative viewpoints or Republican viewpoints. The Constitution, you know, for a Declaration of Independence, doctrine, things like this.
Right.
What does the left have, really?
AOC.
Moral superiority.
What moral superiority? But there's no doctrine.
No substance.
But you know what irritates me though?
Hold on, okay. just 1 second, my love. I love you. I love you. Those of you don't know, I just did like the 1 second finger at my wife, like kind of thing. All right. What I'm saying is, with no doctrine, no foundation to base your principles upon, you live in a state of chaos. And when you live in a state of chaos, it begins to show that you are unhappy about everything. Look at feminists, look at Democrats, look at the left, look at the gay community in general, the LGBT community, et cetera, et cetera. Pro-life versus pro-choice. Who's really the aggressive and unhappy ones in those discussions? When you're not based in a foundational principle of doctrine in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you live in chaos. And when you live in chaos, you're a bunch of grumpy old cusses that got nothing better to do than get offended by a Snapchat filter. Mm-hmm. Alyssa.
I would just like to say that we care about people too. I know everybody says the moral superiority, but we care about our hunger. We care about our hurting. We care about refugees. I get so irritated that we become like the bad people who don't care about anybody. Farthest from
and
the truth.
Do you see Eric Swalwell's post of his two flags?
Yes.
He has the American flag and then he has the rainbow flag on his other door with the creases. The creases are still in
because he just bought it and he just hung it up for a photo.
He's trying to be morally superior by showing he cares about, you know, gay rights when he just got it out of the package.
Also, going back to the swap your faces with a man woman, I personally think if you were thinking about being transgender, it would be a good thing to use.
That's a nifty,
can know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's like a try it out and see what it looks like.
I'm just saying.
Hey, it's not a joke.
Okay, so all
I'm being serious.
So like the only way that you can do that with that filter is by taking a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right, so another weird fact of the day that I have found. Did you know that more people have died by taking selfies than by shark attacks?
That does not surprise me at all. Is it while they're driving?
I don't know. It doesn't go that far.
That
it just says
awesome.
More people have died by taking selfies.
Have they walked into a taxi? Because I guarantee you in New York,
walk
I bet people
into a taxi? What is that's the first thing that goes
people
to your
look
mind?
At their
How
phone.
How many taxis have you even seen in your life?
A ton. I used to live in Chicago. But I'm just saying, you look down at your phone. I almost got hit by a car.
She lived in Chicago for 11 months.
It was 1 year
days.
And
that's
it was so
saying.
Cold. Either
you would
way,
think she was born and raised there. Go ahead, baby.
I'm just saying.
Love
people look at their phone
anything.
And they walk across the crosswalk.
Speaking of this, it's a little morbid, but there's actually a site that if you go on to, you can see people's like last selfies. And I'm guessing these people didn't make it after these selfies. And so, like, you'll see people do this, and there's like a train in the background and stuff like
that. A big tiger.
There's like a big tiger in the background. Okay. Other random thing here. Okay. And this goes along with socialism versus capitalism here. This is about Walmart.
Walmart. Oh, no. In a good way, I hope.
Are you invested in Walmart?
I love Walmart.
No, you don't. You love Target. You hate Walmart.
I love Walmart
by the
when
way,
it's the only thing we have.
If you ever want to sponsor Dear America, Alyssa is your person because she's at least bought one of your
aisles,
you know,
for
your,
sure.
No, one of your manager's houses at least. Anyway, all right. Walmart loses in U.S. dollars $3 billion a year to theft. Just people walking out the door. With
like
stuff.
A woman with a frying pan or
$3 billion a year. But again, yay capitalism, because if it wasn't for capitalism,
They'd go out of business?
They'd go out of business. Hey, you know, and that's the thing there. You know,
don't steal from Walmart, though. That's not okay. Right.
The best thing that ever happened to Americans as far as Walmart goes is Target and things like that. Because if it wasn't for Target, then Walmart would fall into that monopoly category.
Yeah.
And then we'd all be in some trouble.
Do you remember when we accidentally stole from Walmart? Sorry, I was having a side conversation with
Whitney. I, Graham Allen, have never stolen anything in my entire life.
Okay, do you remember
life,
when
I
appreciate I'll take
the
I'll
false
take, okay.
libel Manor, accusations. Manor,
I'll take the heat. Libel. When I stole accidentally from Walmart and you happened to be with me. Remember that thing? It was something big, like a piece of furniture we put on the bottom
I
of the buggy.
I did not have relations with this woman. I don't know what she's talking about.
We put on the bottom of the buggy. And we went outside.
Oh,
and
the
we
lamp.
Didn't. It
yes,
was a lamp.
Yes,
it was. It was like
lamp.
A cheap lamp.
Oh, my
and we
God.
Got out to the car and we're like, oh, my gosh, we just accidentally stole this. And it was really, really hot and it was really far away.
Just go, man. Just go.
And a bad judgment call in our younger days, working on our testimony days. We just threw it in the trunk.
We were broke, man.
Well, no, we were more lazy.
We made it
I just didn't
want
to go back
we
in. It was hot.
Lot. Hey, so, okay. No, what a lot of... This is going to be so bad. Major spike in Walmart thefts occurred after this, but this is a
Dear America
this
hashtag.
Is a true story, okay, in Lowe's, all right? When I worked at Lowe's for a brief time, you are actually not allowed to go after somebody if you see them stealing.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They've done that at Walmart, though.
Because what happens is, the reason why you're not allowed to is because a personal injury lawsuit is a lot
more
worse.
Expensive.
And so what was happening is that, you know, Timmy, the 20-year-old, you know, that dropped out of community college is in there like he's trying to make some money. He sees, I don't know, Shirley walking out with a turkey between her legs like people have done in Walmart before. He goes out and he Goldberg Spears tackles yeah. her in the parking lot.
Now she's
she
suing.
Breaks a hip. Now Freeze. She's suing Walmart. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now the practice is it's better for Walmart to lose $3 billion a year than it is for you to go out there and stop somebody
Isn't
from
that crazy?
Shoplifting.
But don't steal.
Yeah.
yeah
all that
steal.
To say, don't steal, kids. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Just say no. Go to work, get a job, pay your taxes, all that good stuff. Speaking of weird facts, I looked up this funny thing today, and I thought it was fantastic. So are you ready?
Yes.
This is a verified account. It's What the F Facts. It's a verified account on Twitter. It's a big deal, babe.
I mean, it's great.
How dare you? They worked hard for that blue check mark. Okay, anyway, sure the point can. Is, okay, here's what it says. Are you ready?
Yeah.
People who read books live an average of almost 2 years longer than those who don't read at all.
I believe
Sweet.
It.
Sweet. I'm going to live forever.
Sign me up for every book for a whopping 2 years. I'll just watch every movie yeah. imaginable at that point. What? It's two years.
If that
years.
Was a true story, you really
if
wouldn't.
If it came out and it said you live 20 years if you read books all the time, then fantastic. But speaking of books... There's a new book you're going to want to check out right now. Mark Levin's new book, Unfreedom of the Press, shines a light on the degeneration of America's free press into a standardless profession that has squandered the faith and trust of the American public. In typical fashion, Levin doesn't hold back in substance or quality. The research that went into this is astounding, and I can promise you this book will deepen your understanding of the roots of journalism in our country and where we're headed. And he doesn't mince words either. Where do you think I got all of my ranting from? The great one himself, Levin, takes direct aim at the partisan party press, which has gone completely off the rails through its own abandonment of reportorial integrity and objective journalism. This book is for every American citizen who cares about the future existence of a free republic. You can read excerpts on Amazon and order your copy now. Bringing it back around full circle. Again, I say, and I'm going to repeat this again because I think that it's a really, really good nugget, if you will. Can I steal that from you? Can I steal that from you? You still rant and stuff from me all the time anyway. Yeah, exactly. So, again, this is our post-Memorial Day episode, but truly diving in a little bit on Memorial Day and what it means. You have 1.3 estimated. I believe it's much, much higher, but that's like the, you know, the rough estimation going on right now. 1.3 million veterans who have lost their lives defending your right to believe what you want to believe, how you want to believe it, when you want to believe it. defending your right to be an idiot or not, defending your right to decide if you want socialism as your reigning, you can't even say your reigning democracy at that point, your reigning governing or whatever it is at that point. I think that it's important to remember that Memorial Day is something that we should remember every single day. We have a tendency as Americans to forget and simply get into our systems and go about our lives, and we only pay tribute and pay reverence to things when it gets to the day, 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving. I guess you can throw Halloween in there. Why not? But Memorial Day, especially. Memorial Day is just one of those things. It feels like people just, they just don't think about it ever. Not ever. Not one time do people think about the men and women who have lost their lives, except the family members.
I was going to say, unless you've been personally affected.
Unless you've been
personally
affected. But every single one of us have been personally affected by those people.
Every day.
Because we are here living our lives the way we want every single day because of them. If you are a family member, you have been personally affected by someone who has lost their lives in the service for this country. We thank you from us here at Dear America. We try our absolute best to make sure that we always are pro-America and pro-military, because in my opinion, they are the greatest that our country has to offer. And I stand by that, and I will forever stand by that. In 2 weeks, this is a big thing that I want to announce at the end of this podcast. In 2 weeks, our new studio should be up and running.
Yep. Yay.
And we are moving to filming this podcast, and you're going to be able to see who we're talking to, how we're looking at people, the stink eyes that Alyssa gives to me basically the entire time.
My amazing wardrobe.
Oh, man, I'm dressing so bad for every one of you guys once we start doing this.
Right now.
Yes. In 2 weeks, we've got an amazing lineup of people that are going to be coming on throughout the oncoming weeks. And Arnold Schwarzenegger just stopped in here. Get in the chopper. Anyway, the point is, 2 weeks, guys, because of you and the support, we're moving to filming the podcast. I'm so excited for you to see it.
It's going
to
be awesome.
That's all we've got for this episode today. Alyssa, where can they find you?
E-L-L-I-S-A, Alyssa Allen. On Instagram and Facebook.
Jake?
Find me on Instagram at producer_Jake.
And as always, I am Graham Allen, and you can find me pretty much anywhere if you Google that, and you'll even find the people that can't stand me.
True story.
That's all we've got. We'll see you again next time.
Bye.
See you guys.